Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We're routine to call the scenes, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons.
Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Awe, 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 awe
something happening here. But what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. 1,000 people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Tracks deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop.
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
The turbo. Always looking to fill the turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Welcome to everyone out there listening in. Thank you very much. And sitting around waiting for the Knights to show up in here. But in the meantime, I'd just like to say, ask a question out there. You know, we got a lot of things going on in the world. There's people out there doing their best to try to make the world a better place and all that kind of stuff. My question is, you know, of all the representatives out there, especially in the United States, there's some members of Congress out there that pretty doggone wealthy as far as I can see. There's a guy out there named, goes by Dabu77 out there on YouTube that he put out a video, the richest members of Congress. Apparently there's a Representative Daryl Issa, Republican from California, that is worth $357 million. There's a Republican, Michael McCaul, from Texas, that's worth $117 million. There is a Democrat, John Delaney, worth $111 million. There is a Senator Jay Rockefeller from, looks like West Virginia. I think John Delaney's from Maryland. Anyway, Jay Rockefeller from West Virginia, $108 million. Mark Warner, Democrat from, looks like Virginia, $95 million. You know, while I don't begrudge anyone to have any kind of, you know, wealth or fame or fortune or stuff like that, I just kind of look back and I see how things are going around the world, how things are going in this country alone. I don't know anyone who isn't struggling either mentally, emotionally, financially, or physically, you know, with people being sick and, you know, working, but just not being able to earn enough money. Buddy, you got great timing, brother. Oh, okay. Hey, buddy, hang on there for a second. Anyway, like I said, I don't know anyone out there who isn't struggling in some form or fashion, whether it be mentally, emotionally, financially, physically. You know, a lot of folks out there, it takes two families to earn a living, and it takes, you know, sometimes a lot of money just to have daycare for children so that the parents can actually be out there working. And so at some point, it almost becomes counterproductive for the parents to be out working a full-time job because, you know, not only are they missing out on their children's upbringing, but they're also spending the majority of the money that they're earning in order to, to basically survive and keep their children taken care of while they're at work. So my issue isn't with the fact that some of these representatives out there, and a lot of them, we just read off a few of them from the Congress alone, and I'm sure the Senate and all the way up to the President, all these folks are really wealthy, but they don't seem to be doing anything substantially good to turn this world around. You know, so my question, I guess, is like, are they doing this for the honor of they made a lot of money. You know, they were blessed by whatever businesses they were able to achieve in the free world and be able to actually get to a point where they were, you know, financially above and not having to worry about things. Are they doing it for the honor of serving their country and protecting the citizens of the United States, or are they doing it for the power or the glory of being, a senator or a congressman? One has to question that, because if you look out there into the world, there's still homeless people here in the United States. There's still starving people here in the United States. There's still sickness going on, wars and all this kind of stuff. And if you go out there on the mainstream media and even the alternative media, you'll find all kinds of headlines like a new flu drug to be cleared for emergency against whatever. You know, Germany could be a home to 7,000 Muslim extremists. New York, Ebola patient enters more serious phase. Ex-player's on the sunspot. You got the Satanists running into the Ten Commandments, and Putin threatening nuclear war, and it just goes on and on and on and on. In the mainstream media, in the alternative media, it's a continuous bombardment of negativity and fear and worry and all this kind of stuff, and I'm thinking, woes be to the poor man who's out there working for a living trying to take care of his family with all this luggage on his back. If you're having to get in your car in the morning and worry about how much fuel cost and look over your shoulder to see if there's a terrorist behind a bush or whether your child's going to be safe in school, and then about the children being indoctrinated into school the vaccines not being safe and all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of school districts where you can't go to school unless you've had all your shots. And so, to me, it's like, it's an overwhelming task just to be a parent in today's day and age. And so, my question once again is this. Do these congressmen and senators do this for the love of their country and the honor? Or are they of honorable intentions while they're out there doing this? I say the guys that have, $117 million or $95 million in the bank could do a whole lot of positive works out there in the world. When it all comes down to it, you can't take it with you. You could, send it on down the stream to your family or whatever, as far as inheritance, whatever the government doesn't take out of all that deal. But the whole overall picture, stepping back and looking at the whole scene that's going on in the world, there's people in this world that are so bad off that, I feel blessed that I can get up in a warm house and, have clean water running from my spigots and the lights and an internet that I can get out here and talk to all you wonderful folks from around the world and, just be able to try to uplift your spirits and do the best I can to throw some positive solutions out there. I just have to ask that if these guys out here who are the congressmen and the senators and the representatives and the parliaments of the world, are they doing this for honorable intentions? Are they doing it for power? Are they doing it for some one world agenda? You hear about Agenda 21, you hear about all the different depopulation schemes and everything under the sun. It isn't as if the average Joe doesn't have a lot to worry about, It's just it's a major undertaking in order to just take care of your family alone. And so I have to question their intentions. If you're that wealthy and you're going to get a job that maybe only pays $40,000, $50,000 or $100,000 a year, you know, why? You know, it just doesn't ring true that these guys are in there for honorable intentions when you're still seeing the same messes. You're still hearing the same struggles, you know. Republicans are going to take Granny's Social Security or Grandpa's wooden leg or, you know, this or that. And and every time election season comes around, there's so much fraud that is going on, you know, dead people voting, and some of the dead people vote multiple times. And, you know, it's just, you're being continuously overwhelmed with a flood of information. I look out here at this internet and I say to myself, man, what an amazing tool. What an amazing research facility that we have access to. The sum of all humanity's knowledge, as my buddy Steve always says. And what do we do with it, you know? We could be gone so much farther ahead in time as far as the advancement of all societies and you know, all humanity. We should be so much further advanced than what we are. The only reason why I can see that anybody would even want to hold us back would be for power. You know, that's how else can you say it? He who makes the gold makes the rules. How you doing there, buddy?
Now you caught me off guard.
Oh, sorry.
Having
about
a ball
that.
As usual. Feeling better than I have in a long time. Don't know exactly what the turning point was, but anyway, yeah, I turned my head all the way and all that kind of stuff. I'm happy. I'm back to ranting on the radio show. Got a little bit extra little things to kind of keep me happy and toys to play with while I'm doing my show. And got some toys in the mail from Terry Woodruff, a 1-horsepower X13 permanent magnet, 3-phase motor, and a 3/4 horse. And the back end of the motor is a controller for that motor, a speed controller. And you can take that off and basically unplug a 3-pin Molex socket, and now you have 3 wires coming out that are 3-phase output from a generator if you crank the deal. So I'm looking to save a little bit of money on gas. I'm in the process of building a 3-wheeled recumbent tricycle with 2 wheels in the front and 1 wheel in the back. I figure throw a couple batteries on the bad boy and I should be in business, no problem. So I get that going, and all I got to do is pull up to the wind turbine, unplug it from the batteries, and throw that in, or just hook straight to the batteries and let it charge the other ones.
I won't even
have to pedal, but if I want to, I can pedal. The first one's going on the front as the generator, and that's going to supply the power to the motor in the back via the batteries or maybe even direct. So.
Sounds cool. I can't wait to see the results. Have you been listening in any?
Oh, yeah. I was listening to what you were talking.
What do you think?
I forgot what you was talking about.
Oh, man. Oh, this makes good live radio, eh?
Yeah, I know. I was busy typing and looking for other guests for the show to make it come out a little better.
Well, to try to recap, I just tried to pose the question is, there's a lot of congressmen, senators, and representatives, and I'm sure parliaments and presidents and dictators or whatever around the world that they're not hurting financially. I look out into the world and I see all the people. I personally don't know any individual that isn't struggling in some form or fashion, whether it be physically, mentally, emotionally, or financially. And I see these guys that are making, you know, anywhere from worth anywhere from $115 million to maybe $95 million or maybe even more than all that. But the question I have to ask is, are they of good intentions? Are they in there for the honor of the job? Because it's obvious that they don't really need this job because the money that you get for being a congressman or even the president for that matter doesn't even scratch that amount of funds. But it's not that I begrudge them of actually having that kind of money, and I'm not one of the ones who says, you know, you got to tax the rich or whatever. My question is this: if you got that kind of money...
Yeah, tax the rich.
Well, if, you know, I think everybody should be taxed fairly. That's just balancing out the scales of justice as far as I'm concerned. But if you got that kind of money, you could do so much good for the world. There shouldn't be no reason for you not being able to go down and find some homeless person and helping them, giving them a leg up or something, you know, or making some sort of community housing for them or something. Maybe some of these guys actually do some of this kind of stuff. I don't know them personally, so I can't even say. But looking at the state of the world, And here we are in the United States, and there are still people homeless, there's still people starving, there's still sickness going on. And you look in the alternative media, you look in the mainstream media, you get bombarded with all kinds of headlines, and it's always about something, you know, the Ebola deal, the school shootings that are supposedly going on, and all the different skirmishes around the world, and the president of Russia threatening World War III, and so on and so forth, dollar collapsing, you know, and even the Satanists running into the Ten Commandments monument, smashing it to pieces. So it just, it's a never-ending cycle of, you know, fear and aggravation that the average Joe just does not need. You know, the mom and the pop working two jobs trying to keep the kids in daycare and school, and then having on top of that worry about whether or not their vaccines are poisoned, or whether the water's being poisoned, or the skies, or, you know, it's just, wow. You know, what can you say? Are these guys there in Congress and the Senate and the parliaments of the world, are they doing this for honorable intentions? Are they doing it for power? You know, there has to be some reason why, you know, somebody that wealthy would take a low-paying job and then at the same time, instead of representing the people of the world, do a terrible job. And nobody can deny these guys are doing a terrible job. Otherwise, these problems, we would start seeing results. They'd be start being fixed. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. Let me get long-winded. First of all, you said everything I said on my show and a little bit more. So we're basically on the same subject this morning. I kind of look at it this way. If we have time travel, and we take back what we know, and we go back to the past and decide to live and say we just keep that little... Having that advantage of knowledge makes you want to use it. There's good politicians out here. Not that many. There used to be a lot of good politicians out here. Just like there's good lawyers. They're paid liars. They're good liars. But I tell you what, when you're backed into a corner, who are you going to call? You ain't going to call Ghostbusters. You ain't going to call that rich scalper out there who pulls in $4,000 every few weeks. No, because he's not going to help you there. You're going to have to call that you're going to have to call that lawyer. Well, a lot of the politicians out here are lawyers. It's getting harder and harder to tell which ones are good and which ones are bad. And plus, they're all helping each other get in because they are the ones that nominate the ones that they want to be next to them.
Well, and there's one other thing going on there too, Muddy. How do you stop the dead people from voting?
Well, there have been dead people that have voted, and basically that's just people adding ballots and a number to the ballots there. What was his name there? The guy that did, they call him the Streak.
I don't even remember, man. All I'm saying
anyway, yeah, his grandpa's dead and in the ground. And basically, they pulled his grandfather out and they made him vote Democrat. And he was long dead. And he had a real hard time about that and really... he decided to piss back in their boots. But my point I was getting at is they know what they can do. There's so many that go in there with a good heart and a good mind and get in there, and all they got is temptation. And it's not just temptation, it's pressure.
Well, I would probably even throw blackmail in there.
You look at the people in the music industry, and you look at the people, the actors and stuff. Well, they get just so far in their career, and some people say, well, you can't sell your soul, it doesn't belong to you. Well, the devil does ask people to sell their soul. What the deal is when they get to a certain point, and then they say, yeah, well, he's a contender. We'll go ahead and give him the offer. If he doesn't take our offer, then we're going to ruin his career. If he takes our offers, we'll give him the offer. We'll make sure that he makes $20 million and take him on. And he's got to do all these parties and rituals and goofy things to do heinous things to each other. And basically, through that, yeah, you've become a reprobate mind. Nothing fazes you anymore from the heinous things that you got to do. Explicit things that they must do to each other and with other people and stuff. I tell you what, it's a bad industry. But you get up there in the politician's office and you don't vote the way that they say to vote, they're going to either try to off you or whatever. So they got pressure, plus they got temptation. And not a good thing.
Think about this for a second. This is a worldwide deal. This isn't just a United States deal. This is a Canadian, a Mexican, all over the world, yeah, where these so-called representatives are doing God knows what. You know, they're obviously not repairing anything. Otherwise, this world would be, we'd start seeing some results. I mean, come on, I'm 49 years old now, and I've been hearing the same.
Wait a second, keep going.
I've been hearing the same thing over and over and over again. I hear about children starving in the world. Why can't we fix this stuff? Why can't we change this world? You know, if these guys got access to millions of dollars personally in their own pocket, plus they got access to billions and trillions of dollars via tax money collected all over the world, we can afford the money to go over and bomb the crap out of somebody, but we can't afford the money to go over there and give them some bread and clothes and shoes. You know, it's really something wrong with society whenever, you know, somebody is that doggone wealthy and just can't seem to solve anything. That's, you know, like I said, I don't begrudge anyone being wealthy. That's fine, you know. Maybe it's an inheritance, maybe they earned it, whatever. But, you know, if you're hearing these guys say day after day so that they can get reelected that the other guy's trying to steal Granny's Social Security or Grandpa's wooden leg and they still haven't got anything accomplished, you know, we already know all the world conspiracies, the Illuminati, the Freemasons, the Satanists, and so on and so forth. We already know all that kind of stuff. We've heard all the conspiracy theories. My question is, what's it going to take to get the average Joe to wake up and realize that none of this is ever going to stop until we, the people, en masse, literally stand up and change it ourselves, you know? We shut the doors of the Congress and the Senate and say, look, you know what? We're going to do this by ourselves because you guys ain't doing nothing. You're not representing anybody other than yourselves and your bank account. You know, what can I say? You know, am I nuts? Is it just me or is this all going around in a doggone circle? You can't see a headline on the news. You can't listen to radio or anything. You know, alternative media, YouTube, don't matter, Facebook. You're always continuously hearing something that's going on in the world, some tragedy that's going on in the world. As of all the billions of people that's on this planet and of all the resources that we have access to and we can't solve, problems. You know, we're going to allow a minor few people and all the representatives of the world together in one spot. It is a small minority of all the people of this world. Why are we allowing the smallest minority of people of this world to literally allow wars and starvation and sickness? I mean, we're hearing about this Ebola thing all the time. You know, oh, Ebola, is it airborne? Is it not airborne? Can you catch it on the bus? Can you not catch it on the bus? But yet they'll sit there and tell you, hey, we're shipping in some infected individuals to take them to this hospital here in the United States. Now, why would you bring somebody, instead of quarantining them on site and getting them healthy, you bring them to the United States where they could potentially infect all the way from point A to point B?
But here's the thing, though. People are worried about them being brought into our country, but they've been playing around with that virus for many, many years. How do you think they have ZMAP and all the other stuff? That's been on our country since it first broke out in, what, 78 or something like that? It's been here. We've been playing with it. It's just, you don't know about it. You don't see it. So you
don't. It's a really, really old virus, older than
that. Yeah, it's been here. They've been working on that for a long time.
Well, I'm hip to all that, guys. But listen.
It worked on it.
Listen.
I think it worked on it for a purpose.
I'm hip to all that.
Bill Gates owns the antivirus.
Regardless of all the back stories of the deal, you know, we went through the pig flu, we went through the bird flu, we went through now Ebola and many, many others. It's a continuous cycle, a never-ending cycle that just won't stop. None of this will ever stop. None of these news headlines will ever stop until the average Joe finally gets up and does like Muddy said in his last show, goes to the window and shouts out the window, I'm not going to take it anymore. You know, until the majority stand up against the minority that is destroying this world and our countries and financially robbing, raping, looting, and pillaging the nations of the world and all the resources, what good have they done? A guy, I'll go back to the doggone deal there. The guy making valued at $119 million. What do you do with $119 million? Seriously.
You lose it.
You got $119 million. What good have you done for anybody with that $119 million? Have you done anything positive for this world?
Seriously? You lived a life of luxury because it was promised to you so that if you were renounced and sell your soul, it's given there, but you don't get to keep it. Michael Jackson didn't, and he got basically shamed all his life, one thing after another. And, you know, basically he was out here trying to speak out against them when they got rid of him. And that's what happened. See, the thing is, any promise given to you by the fallen one is basically reneged on halfway through, one way or another, a loophole, anything.
Well, you don't make a deal with the devil and expect him to hold up to his side of the bargain. That's all there is to that.
Right. Money doesn't buy happiness. Come on, we've seen an example of that with Robin Williams.
Right.
Money does not buy happiness.
No, and you have to lose it, because if you got money, you are now a target. The tallest tree always gets cut down or gets blown down by the wind, because it's the tallest tree. It's the one that is in the spotlight. Taking all the brunt and the force.
What's the one thing in common that all of the people out here in alternative media have in common? What is the one most important thing that they keep on wanting?
You mean us or them?
Us. We the people.
We want peace. We want to see everything settled down. We want to see the fruits of our labor stand.
Yeah.
Not get fizzled out and... Yeah, I mean, how much water can you put in a bucket with a hole in the bottom?
We want peace. We want freedom. We don't want... I got friends in Russia, Muddy. I got friends in Russia. You know, you got friends in Russia. I got friends in Canada. I got friends in Scotland and Ireland and all over this world, Australia. I don't want to go to war with Russia. I don't want to go to war with any nation. But it's not up to me. It's up to these guys that we put in the office up there who have their finger on the trigger. While the average Joe is struggling just to survive, and we're having to worry about what's in the kids' vaccination or what the school teacher's going to teach or what the next little lunatic's going to run in there and try to shoot up the place or whatever.
Right. And who's doing all the work?
We are.
All right. Very good. That's the thing. You're still a slave.
But when's it going to be? When's enough going to be enough? When is the majority going to stand up against the minority and literally walk up and shut down the White House, shut down Congress and the Senate, just lock the doors and say, look, you know, we own this building. You don't own it anymore. This is it. You guys are out of a job. We're going to take care of this ourselves because you guys ain't fixed nothing.
I shielded my smart meter. I still haven't talked to him about getting rid of it. And I tell you what, the difference in the way I feel is awesome. I'm telling you that. I'm glad I came across all that. But when are you going to start? Here's what the problem is. Most people are out here looking, waiting for... They're aware now. Most of us are aware and awake. And no pun on awake radio. But basically, we're awake now. And we're all looking to say, well, what can I do about this? We're all kind of scared. But the thing is, we're waiting for somebody to step up to the plate and say, okay, guys, it's time. Let's have a revolution. And that's not the way to win.
Well, I'm not talking about...
We're outgunned. We're out... You know, we're not out in the open. We're out...
Why
I'm not talking... Listen, I'm not
that's
talking
not
about... I'm not talking about a violent revolution. I'm not talking about...
I'm not either.
Right.
I'm saying. That's not what I'm talking about. Most people are waiting for that, and they think that's the way it's done, but I'm telling you that's not the way to do it. You look out here, the Seneca Indian, a sect of Iroquois. Basically, you look at our government. The Indian had a better form of government than the colonials that came over. And so you look at everything, the Constitution, the doggone... Declaration of Independence was basically kind of copy and adapted from what the Seneca had. And basically the Seneca never got their land taken from them. Matter of fact, they took over three quarters of the United States because they were better at government than the United States. So here's the thing. It's just...
Door to door, man. That's what it's going to take. Door to door.
The best way is to beat them with their own law.
That's what I'm saying. Door to door.
In order to keep us following them, we've supported them.
This law.
We supported them because they lied and we believed them. And the more that we have supported them, the more we believe. The more we believed them, and now they've gotten so good at their lies that they. Have too much to keep track of.
Muddy, this law that you're talking about.
Fix another one.
Muddy.
So now we can go in there and we can say, okay, well, we're going to take this to court. A lot of people are getting sick, people brain cancer, this and that, all from the radiation and effects from smart meters and things like that. And now they sit there and they bring it to court where the electric companies were supposed to prove that these things are not harmful to man. Well, they didn't.
Right.
They didn't make these tests. They didn't do it. So we did, basically, by going to the doctor and saying, "Hey, what you know?" And one room in a university closer to a cell phone collection tower, or I'm sorry, a Wi-Fi collection, a Wi-Fi tower at the university. One room, one person after another got brain cancer and died. They brought that there. That's proof that it is harmful. Prove that it isn't. Guess what? We've won.
And you're
so
right.
So here's what you need
and
to do.
Right,
you need to get these
listen.
Smart meters out. That's how you beat them.
Listen,
you
buddy.
You can't do a revolution by guns.
You're right, but listen. These laws that you're talking about, the information that you're talking about the smart meters, you go down and you talk to five of your neighbors, maybe one out of that five will have any kind of clue what it is you're talking about. You're going to be looked at as a nutcase. Listen, that's what I'm trying to tell you. You got to go freaking door to door. Everyone with information on anything that needs to be said is going to have to go door to door and hand out some sort of flyer or book or a link to a website or something. Because the average Joe hasn't got a clue. The average Joe gets their information from MSNBC, ABC, Fox, CNN, and all these different mainstream news medias. And then the other rest of them, they get their information off the alternative media. And nobody knows what. Finally, some people just get up and say, "The heck with it." You know, I got my own little bubble.
Okay, you're in the war, and your whole platoon's sleeping. You hear a noise, you know you're in danger, you wake the one next to you. Do you get up and walk around and wake up each and every one? No, they all wake each other up. But first, they must be awakened to the deal that they are in danger, so that when they, you know, when somebody shakes them, oh, yep, get your gun, get ready. You know? That's how it's done. You got to educate these people. But if you educate somebody and they understand the danger that they're in, they'll definitely go out and educate somebody else. You spread the word. You keep spreading the word. Typing, blogs, radio, any way that you... Flyers, I don't care. Make DVDs. Find something that says everything that you want to say. Or make one and hand it out. Spread it out. Talk it out. Whatever. You've got to get off your... Got to get the potato off the couch and into the pot before you can have mashed taters, Bub.
The alternative media is making a difference.
Yes, it is, and I'm so glad to be here for that.
It is making a difference, but the question is it going to make a difference fast enough to make a difference before these lunatics who are at the wheel of the helm are going to destroy this whole entire deal? Maybe it could very well be possible that none of these events that we've talked about and all these headlines are even real. You know, it could be just nothing more than manipulating around, and at the end of the day, Putin and Obama and all these congressmen and senators are out getting stoned at the bar and doing whatever it is that they do behind the scenes, and you don't know. You know, how do we know which ones of these events are real and which ones ain't? The fact of the matter is, people, they got to keep their eye on it. Who was it, Thomas Jefferson, that said the price to freedom is eternal vigilance?
That's right. There you go. That's what I'm talking about, the vigilance. Well, I talked to Mario next door. I told him, I said, yeah, since you built that house, I bet you've had headaches all the time and your medical bills have gone up because everybody sleeps right up next to the stupid thing. And he says, yeah. I said, I know what your problem is. I walked out there and I educated him.
Never mind. Gone,
since then, it's been like, I don't know, it's been less than a week, but he talks and tells me he's educated 3 or 4 more people and wants me to talk to him. See? It works.
Well, I don't want people to feel hopeless. I want them to know they have power. I mean,
that's the deal. I tell them, this is a war. We can win.
There, if you look at the numbers, I bet you could fit all the representatives of all the world into one state here in the United States. You could fit them all in one little area of one state here in the United States. They are the minuscule, the minority of all the people on the planet. However, the majority of the people on the planet, either be it being dumbed down or enslaved or indoctrinated into doing whatever it is that they do that they think they have to survive, we're allowing these people to literally do the things that they're doing. Why isn't starvation solved in the world? I'll tell you why it isn't. Because the average Joe sends 99 cents per day to a charity that maybe most of that money don't even get there because they pay for their advertisements and their yachts or whatever. But the average Joe sends that money, and then suddenly, you know, hey, my conscience is clear. I'm supporting this little child that I've never seen other than this photo right here, and it's all well. I'm doing my part. Now, if everybody else would do their part. Well, if that were only the case that they were really doing their part, you know, 30 years, it doesn't take over 30 years to solve starvation in the world. We have the resources. We have more than enough land, more than enough water for everyone to go around, and yet there's still people living under bridges, there's still people starving, there's still wars over resources such as oil, and then we get into a sore spot, the alternative energy community. I got to give all the guys out there in the alternative energy community credit for trying to do and trying to think outside the box and doing the things that they're doing. However, they need to get together and they need to get it accomplished because people need they need something that they can put on the table. And the people out there who are complaining about the world as far as being polluted or green energy or whatever, they need to be backing these individuals to the fullest extent and kicking all the fraudsters to the side and keep on backing the ones that are doing the honest, real research and making advancements. And that's the only way that this is ever even going to happen. You know, one person can do a lot, but together we can accomplish anything. These jerks out there that are in charge, you know, they're fighting over pipelines, they're fighting over coal, they're putting people out of jobs, they're doing all this stuff, and they still haven't even scratched the surface of the so-called energy crisis, the so-called global warming lie, and they still haven't scratched the surface, but they still use it to get elected. You see where I'm coming from?
Yep. So you say 30 years to cure hunger. Well, guess what? The reason why it's taken 30 years to cure hunger when it's not still not cured is because in the meantime, people are still giving in. It's a big money market. They're keeping 80% of it, sending 20% of it out to a bunch of middlemen, and maybe 2 to 3% actually makes it there.
Well, then you from what
better,
I heard, pirates are getting it first.
Get up in the neighborhood, go take a plane and bring the stuff over there to them. But you're not going to get past customs with it because the government's going to take it so that they can control the people with the temptation of the food. And if they don't bow down to their needs and all that, people don't understand what's going on. People don't understand that you're actually, through your gifts, you're funding a war over there. That makes it even worse.
Well,
so
you know
they can make more money.
You know what makes me sick the most about the whole deal? Africa, for example, is probably the wealthiest country as far as natural resources. And they have the poorest people that are starving and not being able to make a living. And plus they've got people running around murdering them on a daily basis or whatever. But instead of taking this country and helping them to use their resources to benefit all of their people and the world in general, what are they doing? They're fighting over who gets what, when, and where, you know? Meanwhile, there's people starving and dying and getting sick. How stupid is that?
It's stupid.
So, here we are. I've been seeing this on TV for ever in a day since I was a kid. I've been seeing little babies crying on TV, and does it touch my heart? Yeah, it breaks my heart. Anytime I see a baby with tears in his eyes, it bothers me really bad. And we have all these resources around us, and yet we can't solve this problem? Seriously? There's where the frustration lies. There's where the frustration with the people that are in Senate and Congress, and they got millions of dollars in their own personal bank account, and they're wasting trillions of dollars via tax money and all that kind of stuff, yet these are still problems going on around the world. They won't hesitate to tell you that we got a terrorist alert out there. We got to get out there and kick these people's butts, you know. We got to go to war. We got to do this. We got to do that. And that's all they talk about. Don't talk about taking our tax money and going down there. Look, you guys all got food in your belly, and so we're going to make sure we go down here and take some of your tax money and put food in some other people's bellies. How many Americans do you think would agree that, hey, we got food in our belly, let's feed the poor with our tax money? How many Americans do you think would do that? Well, nobody?
If I knew, my money would go where it's supposed to go.
That's the key.
That's right.
If you knew it was going there, every American would do it. every American would do something to save a life somewhere in the world. Every American. Now, you might have your occasional jerk, devil-worshipping scumbag that just doesn't care about the world and just wants all kinds of chaos, but hey, that's not the majority. The majority of all Canadians are good, loving, wonderful individuals. The majority of all Scottish and Irish and Russian and Japanese and German and Chinese and Australian and all over the world, the majority of the people are good-hearted souls that would give the shirt off their back for the needy. They just need to know that what they're given is being got by the right person. You see what I'm saying? What's it going to take? What's it going to take to get this job done?
Education.
Well,
I'm not talking about how to do math, but although it does involve a little math when you're telling them. Education. Let people know. Open their eyes. I think that's the main thing.
Well, how do you unveil the truth to those who are blinded by the lies that just refuse to hear, you know? And this is what I'm talking about. We're going down a path right now as a society that is going to end in sure destruction. No ifs, ands, or buts. On the path that we are on, this world is in for a world of hurt. And we're talking literal hell on earth. It's going to happen. On the path that we're on, it's going to happen. That's not no fear mongering, that's just fact. All you got to do is step back and look at the big picture. All it's going to take is the wrong shot in the wrong place. Now you've got country against country.
Lockmanship decided to pop a little comment down here at me. He said we had a little skip in audio. We checked it out. Awake's got it straight. Anyway, I went to... Or basically, they said the sound was good, so maybe it's just on his end. Lockmanship said, I went to my city manager, a.k.a. mayor, police chief, and constable, to serve them personally. We solved the problem at the local level and let the rest of the government flounder. We're ascending above their lies.
That's a good...
In other words, it's basically three cheers. We're winning.
That's a good start.
That's what you got to do. We got to keep vigilant at it. Keep vigilant. Stay at it. Educate the people. Educate. You go up, step up to the government. No, they say that's our right. That's our right. So, that is our right. Go do it.
Yep. Step up there.
The fear's out there to keep you from doing it. But the reason why the fear is out there to keep you from doing it is so you won't do it. Do it.
Step up there and put the information.
The power they take.
Step up there and put the information in front of those folks who are actually casting the vote, and tell them we're watching. And that's how I love that he said that they actually accomplished that.
If you can't talk to people long enough because they're just passing by, make a doggone DVD or CD with all the facts and figures that you can put on there, and invite them to copy the CD and keep redistributing it. Pass it on. Let them know we're winning by this method. Do it. Put a website up there. Put a website on the CD or DVD. Put it on there and update it. Keep it updating. Keep it updating.
That is a definite step in the right direction. Is to, with all your local town councils and stuff like that, educating them. Who cares if they think you're crazy? Just keep sending them the information. You know, if they keep throwing it in the trash and not looking at it, vote them out of office. And stand there while they're counting the votes and make sure that they're being counted correctly. You know, they got all these digital voting machines nowadays. You don't know who's manipulating those. Is it the Democrats stealing Republican votes or vice versa? Is it the dead man voting?
No, it's a neocon theater.
It's
not Democrat and Republican. It's neocons acting like they're two different parties. It's the same party. It has been for a long time.
Well,
and the thing is, it's neocon theater.
Then to know that is to have knowledge.
Just like 9-1-1 was theater. Then just like Pearl Harbor was theater.
Then to know that is knowledge, and the average Joe needs to be informed of the phrase, the price to freedom is eternal vigilance. Now, if you see somebody out there and they're complaining about the gas prices, tell them how to fix it. Tell them,
yeah.
if you see gas prices going up and you do exactly what everybody else did whenever they went up to $4 a gallon over here, they just stopped buying, you'll watch the gas prices go back down. That's the power
right
of your dollar.
Down. On top of that, throw a doggone, get you a doggone solar panel, put it on top of your car. It costs less than the stupid $200 or $300 alternator, that's for darn sure. It might cost you maybe $50 for the thing. Just took it straight through a solar controller, which basically turns the solar panel off when the battery is full. You get in your car, you start your car, it uses a bunch of amps to start it. Then you're going to drive the car 10, 15 minutes. It takes 45 minutes for a full charge. You get into your car, you turn the key again, you use even more. Most people's batteries stay at 75-80%, looking at about 12.6 volts instead of 13.8. If you start your car with a full charge, instead of going ying, 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 vroom, it starts up, it goes vroom as soon as you touch the key. So guess what? You've used less charge. Your alternator doesn't have to work because the alternator's not going to kick in and suck energy from the battery to take a bunch of torque off your motor to amplify it, to charge the battery back, which that system is only 5% efficient. If you need 1 horsepower worth of electricity, which is 746 watts, it takes 20 horsepower to make it. That's one-third of your horsepower in the average car. That's one-third of your gas mileage, and it's also one-third of your power. So if you put a solar panel up on top there, your alternator in the daytime never comes on, and you still got your, it doesn't change anything. You don't disconnect your alternator or anything. Nighttime, you turn your lights on, the alternator's working just like it normally would, and you're not reaping the benefits of all that extra horsepower and gas mileage, but in the daytime, you're getting one-third more power and one-third more gas mileage. That means you're getting two-thirds bang for your buck. Go spend $50 and get rid of that stupid, inefficient alternator that they've stuck on there for years to sit there and keep you sucking more fuel. Enough said.
There's a solution right there, you know. Like I said, man, there are so many different things out here. People just got to do it. You just got to get out there and get wise and do research. I mean, you can get on the internet and you can search up all the video games and all the movies and all the trash that you can to your little heart's content. When the lights go out, it's on you. You know, if you don't know how to make a candle or build a campfire or hunt or fish or anything like that, it's on you. You know,
yeah, you can make grease candles. You don't have to go buy nothing.
You're relying. You are literally relying. Your life is in somebody else's hands when you don't have knowledge to take care of yourself and your family. And this is why I feel a sense of urgency in the alternative energy community, you know. We got solar activity. There's a lot of X-flares popping off. There could come a day when we get punched in the face with a kill shot of a coronal mass ejection. I don't know. Is it going to happen today, tomorrow, maybe 100 years from now? Who knows? But back in the 1800s, there was a big coronal mass ejection that set fire to telegraph wires, man. Shocked the living crud out of some people trying to send messages. So, could it happen? Yeah, look at Hurricane Katrina. Look at all the different natural disasters around the world, whether it be volcanoes or whatever. You know, it could happen.
Exactly. You got a monster under your bed. How do you get rid of the monster under your bed? You stop feeding it.
Yeah, there you go. It's like that, you know. If you got food laying in your floors, you're going to have mice. You know,
If you don't want a million cats hanging around your house, stop putting bowls of milk and cat food out there for them. Put it over at your neighbor's house when he's not looking. Yeah, that'll work.
The whole thing is, people talk about freedom. They talk about taking back their power. They talk about taking back their health. And at the same time, you watch these people out there suffering. They're They're sick. They're working their butts off all their lives. You know, two, a mother and a father both out working, you know, and kids, they're paying for daycare. They're sending their kids to schools. And do you agree with what's being taught to your child in school? If you don't, then you take the kid out of school and you do the homeschooling, and then the state steps in and tells you you're not doing it right, and so they're going to take your kids away from you. Is this representation? Or is it the slave owner that tells you what you can do and what you can't do? Are you truly free in America? Seriously? If you own your own property and you're paying property taxes on that every year after you already paid your property off, are you truly free? Are they using your money to do good for the world? Are they using your money to solve homelessness? Are they using your money to stop wars? Are they using your money to feed the hungry? No, they're not. And if you drive down a road and you bust your tire out because of a giant chuck hole in the middle of that road that you paid taxes to fix, are they going to replace your tire for you? No, you're going to do it. And so that's the key. The whole key is you're going to do it anyway with their help, so you might as well do it anyway without their help. Does anybody think I'm nuts about that?
You're nuts anyway, but you're right.
Well,
We're all nuts, doggone it. We know the truth and we're awake. We're definitely nuts.
You're going to pay for it one way or another.
No normal people allowed in my book.
Whether your representative goes and speaks on your behalf or whether you do it yourself, no matter how it is, when the bill comes in, it comes to you. The light bill's coming to your house. The doggone water bill's coming to your house. And if they think you're using too much water, they're going to tax you even more. They're going to say, oh, wait, we need that smart meter on the side of your house so that we can solve global warming. How's putting a meter on the side of somebody's house that's making people sick going to solve global warming? How?
That they use the money to fluoridate the water. Like, I just went inside to fill up a bowl of water for the cat, and it smells like bleach. I previously had this problem, went down, called the city. The city guy comes, he tests it, he goes, oh, it's just at the point where we would have to do something about it. But he doesn't really know because he hasn't been educated on it, so he just walks and goes on his vacation, watches his TV after work, whatever.
Well, brother,
by the money.
You go in the bathroom, if you've got kids, you go in the bathroom and you pick up your toothpaste, your Crest toothpaste, and you look on the side of that. There's a warning label that literally says, if accidentally swallowed, call poison control.
Yeah.
You're putting that in your kid's mouth. And then you're wondering why your kids are sick. We the people have to get wise. We the people have to rise up and take our power back, take our sanity back, take our health back, and do something positive for this world. These representatives are not going to do it. We got elections coming up here right shortly. And there's people that are going to rush out and they're going to vote for the Democrat. They're going to go out and vote for the Republican. They're going to go out and vote for their team. And then they're going to get screwed by whichever one they vote for.
The Bloods or the Crips, the red or the blue.
They're not going to look back and see, hey, did this guy vote for Obamacare? Did this guy vote for gun control? Did this guy vote for the Patriot Act or this or that? Did this guy take away any of my freedoms? Did this guy do anything that I disagree with? They're not going to take the time to research that. They're going to vote for the team. Chiefs versus the Rams. Same state, different team.
Everything's chosen, just like if you're chosen to be rich. Like, look, we the people build a stadium, and then somebody's chosen to own the stadium, and that person makes millions off the
Everything's
people.
Chosen, brother, but did you choose it?
Did
you personally choose it?
No.
That's my point. My point is, we the people out there think we're getting represented, and we the people aren't getting represented. There's more people in jail for marijuana than there is for murder. And they're doing all the time.
I haven't done my taxes in 8 years. This is going on 9 years.
Yeah, don't feed the monster, you say?
I don't want to get up and get in front of them. I just want to walk off the plank, walk away, see you later.
I got some happy jumping people out here going hoo-ha that are trying to give a couple messages over at Knights of the Round Table.
Well, let's hear it.
One is Dame Shannon.
And she's basically tells Shaziz, tell it, brother. And Lachmanship is down here saying, present your own words written, plus their Salyus police reports, documents, and one compiled, go to each representative and serve them for their local crimes committed against the people. This is the beginning of your presentation. Against them and their constitutional crimes, a.k.a. treason, now multiply the above by a million. See it?
Amen.
When God moves, the people must move with God.
Well, people out there with that kind of knowledge need to go around and get local communities together, type up this information, put it down and scan it off, copy it, and every one of those individuals who care about their community, take that doggone paper to the doggone representative so that they know that people in the masses are not pleased. You know, if I see a homeless man and I got a dollar in my pocket, I'll give him a dollar. I don't care what people are going to tell me that, oh, well, he's probably going to go out and buy drugs with that. Well, maybe he's not. Maybe he's going to go out and buy some food. You know, it's not my place to judge.
Why should he have to buy food? Why does he not have the right to forage for food?
Well, that's true, too. Go out and do like Dublin always says about guerrilla charity, you know. Run by, hand him a sandwich, and run off. Go out and do some guerrilla gardening. Grow food gardens all over your neighborhoods. Don't ask for permission. Just do it. Go out and bomb the whole doggone place with fruit seeds, vegetable seeds, and you'll start having food pop up all over the place. A man wakes up underneath the bridge and he's got a vegetable garden next to him. You think he's not helped out any? Something.
He definitely is.
Something's better than nothing. Drive by and give him a blanket or a coat or some shoes. And you, the individual who think that you're powerless against this, we can't do nothing because these guys have been doing this for years and it's all a lie and my vote don't count. Your vote counts whenever you do something personally. When you take a blanket and you hand it to somebody who's cold, you make them warm. You have power. You have power in your spoken word. You have power in your actions. You have power in your thoughts. You have power in your love. And all you got to do is use it, regardless. Don't ask for permission. Just do it. Teach a man how to fish, and he'll eat. Period. Man, I got to take a breath.
Get a break, Bubba. And we preaching hard today.
Yeah, we are. We're on a roll, brother. I'm just saying, I don't want people to be afraid. I don't want people to wake up with nightmares. I don't want people to live in fear of the next doggone terrorist that's hiding under there, or the disease that might come off their brother's hand so they won't shake hands with anybody in public because they're afraid. 99.9% of all the BS out there on mainstream media, and even including alternative media, is there to scare you for a purpose. Either make me money, you know, whatever, to get some sort of agenda accomplished. If you really care about the true truth of all, and you care about the true making something better in this world, to making spreading peace, hope, and love around the land, it's going to be you, the individual, who gets up and does something about it. If you're going to have to tell something negative to somebody, show them that, here, I'm showing you something negative, but here's the light at the end of the tunnel. This is how we fix it together, brother.
Yeah, we got more people. I checked the chat over here in Knights of the Round Table. Sky Blue Eyes says, Shaziz, can I speak on this subject? Can I call? And he says, basically that was done to move the Ebola news from the from Africa section to the current affairs. And then he says one more time, he says, Ebola in U.S. is a hoax.
Well, I believe
it.
And
I've got that in the back of my mind as well. I mean, just about every, you know, here you look at Sandy Elementary. They got everybody, I mean, that was one of the worst ones messed up. Here on Facebook, they were collecting, they set up their sites and everything and put them out there to collect money for the ones that lost their kids and stuff like that. 2 days before it happened. And I mean, we're getting tired of this. And basically, that was for gun control. So what's this, to get us into FEMA camps?
All right, brother. Well, we're going to take a quick music break and refresh our coffee and take a breath. And then if you can get Sky Blue in at the, if it wants to come in, then we'll come back and we'll take up where we left off.
I don't know his Skype address. If I can get him to come in, I'll darn sure take him.
All right, well.
About that, and I'm trying to get Lockmanship in here. He's steadily typing.
Just give him the old speech about the being respectful with the language thing. I appreciate that very much.
That's anybody.
Yep.
That's anybody. I'm pretty sure they know.
Anyway, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table, and we're kind of a little bit riled up today, and hope you're enjoying the show and getting something positive out of it. So peace and love. Stay tuned. We're going to play a couple tunes.
Hoping that mankind will stop abusing her son. together as one. There are people dying. Oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all. We can't go on pretending day by day that someone somewhere will soon make a change. We all a part of God's great big family, and the truth, you know, love is all we need.
We are the world. We are.
Hello everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table, and we're kind of a little on the riled up side today, all excited about things in this world. And like I was saying before, look, you know, because of the internet, I've got friends in just about every nation out there, and there's wonderful souls all over this world, from Scotland to Ireland to Canada to Australia, China, Russia, you know, all over this world, there are good individuals. And it's my firm belief that the majority of all the people in this world are good living souls that would take the shirt off their back to give it to you if they knew you were cold. And so with that said, I posed a question earlier in the show about these representatives out there. And like I said, I don't begrudge anyone being rich. And I don't believe that anybody should be taxed just because they're rich. I think everybody, if there's going to be a tax system, should be taxed equally. That's just, you know, the scales of justice. But the fact is that all the representation that we've been getting via whether Congress, the Senate, or the President, or the Parliament, or whatever dictator you're under in whichever country you got, you know, they what are they doing? What are they doing? What are they solving in this world? What are they solving? Starvation? Are they stopping the wars over resources? Are they saving the planet? Or are they doing anything besides beating you down, dumbing you down, and basically charging you to breathe or whatever? You know, these are the tough questions that you need to ask your local communities, your local governments, and putting information in front of them to show them, look, this is what I've researched. True or not true, this is the information that's put out there. And so with that said, the only way that you're going to make a difference as an individual, and you have to first know that you are powerful. You have your spoken word. You have the power of your actions. You know, you have the power of love. And if you use it, if you get up off the couch and you use it to make a difference in your family's life, in your friends, in your local community, then we can make a difference. Otherwise, we keep on the same track where we're at, and we all know where that's going to go. So with that said, we've been joined also by who there, Muddy?
We got Sky Blue Eyes. We pulled him out of the chat and got him joined up and set in here quick. Fixing to pull in Nala and Cash, too.
How you doing there, brother?
Hi, Shaziz. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm doing pretty good here. As your audience may have gathered, I am from the UK with this accent. But I'd just like to speak to your original question about, do politicians go into government with honest intentions? And the answer to that one is quite blatantly no. The only person I can ever think out that has truly ever gone into politics, or I'll rephrase that, who's truly gone into the Houses of Parliament, which is our UK's equivalent of Congress, is Guy Fawkes. Now, Guy Fawkes went in there with the honest intention of blowing the building up. But every other politician who's ever been in there has been a liar, a joke, a scam artist, a con man, whatever you care to name. They're not in it for the benefit of people. They may have gone there originally, but when they get there, their intentions change because they discover that they don't have any power because, basically, there are more powerful people in control of governments. Because if you ever look at all the laws that have come out in whatever country you look at, they're all basically the same. So when a law comes out in, say, the United States, that law was probably already in place 6 months, 3 years previously in the UK. And all the laws everywhere, they all are coming through via the UN. You know, whatever department you got in America, there's an equivalent department in the United Nations that basically dish out to all the countries, here's the laws you can implement. So a politician, whether it be Prime Minister, President, or Minister, or Representative, or Congressman, or Senator, whatever you care to name them, their only decisions that they make for that day is, should I wear the grey suit or the black suit? Because they're not writing policies, they're not basically voting for anything. They're basically told what they're going to do. Their decisions is basically, how are we going to present this to the public? They're given their orders, You know, there's an expression in the rest of the world, America has the best government money can buy.
I agree, okay? Brother.
You know, that, and when you look at this thing called lobbying, in any other country, lobbying is called bribery. But it's perfectly legit in America. You can go up to your politician and give them money and say, vote this way. Or, here's a policy that we want you to submit before government. Get that through and that will make my company billions. And I will give you a couple of million if you do so. That's called bribery in any other country, but it's perfectly legit in America.
Yeah. You know, I've always said that the only way that you're going to get control of your government is if you take the money out of the government, the politicians, you know, and make it illegal for them to be able to have special interest groups going in there bribing people, you know, and corporations buddying up to the doggone senators and congressmen. So I'm with you all the way, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't win with politics. Politics is a controlled game. The elite and powerful, they own it all. They made it all. They run it all.
Well, you know, there's going to have to come a time, though. Sorry, you cut out there at the end there.
You know, how can you
we're experiencing.
Oh, indeed, I totally agree, but it isn't going to come through the vote. Can you hear me now, guys?
Yeah, we got you back.
Hello.
Yeah, we got you back.
Okay, well, I'll carry on. What I am saying is, oh, excellent. Cool, right. What I'm getting at is the vote is basically, the vote is what got you into this, or what got the world into this position right now. It's an illusion. You're thinking that you are voting for somebody who's going to do you a good, but it doesn't matter. All you know, if you vote somebody out, all you've done is change the face, but the agendas and policies still continue on. You know, red team, blue team, that's all you're voting for, a different face, but they still offer you the same policies. The policies still continuing on. And as Shaz was saying, you know, well, it's going to come to a head. How do we stop this? Well, voting on a larger scale, you know, for Prime Minister or President isn't going to resolve anything because they're the biggest puppets going. You know, they don't become Prime Minister until the elites control them. They've got that much dirt on them. Their president is really bad. You know.
Well, and that's a key right there. A lot of these guys out there that are supposed representatives, they got so many skeletons in the closet. And so if they can't bribe them, if they can't blackmail them, we always see throughout history anybody who's really trying to make a difference kind of seems to go by the wayside, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I totally agree. Anyone who is of any benefit to society, he will never ever get into a position of power. You know, this was demonstrated by Ron Paul and his movement. You know, he had a true grass movement.
Yeah, and that really bothered me about
put him into power.
That really bothered me about these so-called conservatives out there that really trashed Ron Paul. I mean, they trashed him all the way through the entire election cycle. They didn't give him the opportunity. And Ron Paul was saying what the average Joe's been saying all along. You know?
Absolutely. This is the point. But again, it's still an illusion to keep you interested in politics. You know, it's an illusion. Ron Paul couldn't have done anything even if he was president. Have you ever seen a president repeal any laws or presidential directives imposed by a previous president that the people didn't like?
Well, the last president that tried was Kennedy, and we all know how that ended up.
Exactly. He got a free open-top limo ride, didn't he?
Yeah.
he died of lead poisoning, he did, unfortunately. But he originally was a bad guy. He had a change of heart in the position of president, and as you say, got lead poisoning for that change of heart, you know. That's unfortunate, but the point I was making is no president has ever repealed anything. You know, you had alcohol prohibition, and when they got rid of that, they quickly saw, we're losing money, let's bring in drug prohibition, which is 10 times as bad. And that, you know, with the alcohol prohibition, at least they made an amendment to make it legal.
Right.
And then they had to repeal the amendment to make it illegal.
And who owns the ABC stores?
Drug prohibition.
The government.
Yeah. With the drug prohibition, they're just doing it illegally, and you know, it is not beneficial to society.
Well,
if
ironically enough, if you go back in history and you look at some of the reports that came out of the alternative media, you'll see things such as our military are over there protecting the poppy fields in Afghanistan. So where did the drug war go?
Yeah, the government loves opium.
The Queen of England made her, her ancestors made their wealth through opium. The opium wars have been continuing on for a long, long time. You know, but I digress. The original point I was making is that you never see any president repeal any previous laws or presidential directives or executive orders. You see, the president is a puppet and he just follows his orders.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned earlier, Shaz, was that the only way to change things is to actually go out and tell people. You know, because you ain't going to change anything by voting, because voting has got us into this position. It's an illusion. It's a distraction. It's a time waste. You know, maybe at local levels it has some value. You know, if you're voting for a local mayor or sheriff, you have to actually go out and meet the person and find out what he's like, see if he is genuine and does believe what he's saying, rather than just saying it to get you to vote so he gets into power only to build up his bank account.
I agree with you 100% on that, you know, and I'm sure all you guys could understand what I'm about to say. You know, you can put a monkey in a suit, but it's still going to be a monkey, and that's the same thing with the politicians out there. You know, if you don't know what that person is before they got in that suit, you put a monkey in that suit, he's still going to be a monkey, period. You know what I'm saying?
You can put
a skunk in a lion's mouth. And still his armpits still stink like a skunk's armpit.
Yep. And that's the truth. You know? So go ahead and put all the monkeys in a suit and in power that you want, but then you can't sit around and complain about what they're doing if you tried to elect them or supported them in any way. You know, I've heard people talk about don't pay your taxes. Well, majority of the people out there are afraid not to pay their taxes because they don't want the jackbooted thugs kicking in their door and stealing their property and taking them off to jail. But this is the illusion that's put over you because they don't want you to know you have any word. They don't want you to know you have any power. They don't want you to know that there is a way out of all this mess. And the way out of it is getting out there talking to your neighbors, your brothers and sisters, and pointing things out to them, you know. Like I was telling you earlier, Muddy, they may not even have a clue about these laws that you were talking about, how it all came to be or whatever. They're living in their bubble. They're trying to make their world the best they possibly can, and the only thing that they got is what they're told via mainstream media, alternative media, or you, the individual. And you, the individual, you know, standing there in front of them, showing them the truth is a lot more powerful than what they're going to get off of the TV as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I've been listening to Tammy Peppermint over there at No Borders Radio, and man, I mean, it's hard to keep up with the gal. She searches the news, she goes through everything, and one of the biggest things I see the dancing feet for is watching all the politicians into the kiddie porn and into human trafficking and all that kind of stuff, getting busted one by one, taking them down, taking them down, taking them down. And I love it. I love seeing it and reading it. But you know, I mean, as soon as you get done reading one, you come back and there's five more links. It's happening. It's happening. They're taking them down one by one. And like Lockmanship says, get your words together, get your doggone research together, and start serving these people and take some more down.
And
when they got some, when they've got half, you know, if they can get at least a tenth of America going in there, putting these doggone sites down, notices, and serving these government officials. They'll come down. They'll drop. That does. I think the biggest heap of all.
Well,
take them down.
At the very least, what I see the alternative media doing at the very least is slowing their agenda down. We are slowing them down. You know, they're not being able to get gun control through because they know that people are going to get riled up. So they'll put all these other things out there like terrorism and Ebola and everything else to scare you and distract you and all that kind of stuff so you ain't paying attention. It's kind of like, you know, getting a fight and you wave your right hand and then sock somebody in the jaw with your left hand, you know. That's what they're doing to the people. And until people, you know, like, I'll go back to Thomas Jefferson again. The price to freedom is eternal vigilance. And until people start paying attention to what's really going on in this world, ain't nothing going to change. 20 years down the line, our kids will be voting for the Reds or the Blues, and there'll still be a starving baby somewhere in the world. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
We are the majority. We, the people, are the majority. You know, and right now, why we, the people, are allowing this stuff to happen to this, to our brothers and sisters around the globe. I got friends in Russia, man. I don't want to go to war with Russia. My friend could get hurt.
I look at it this way. The Bible even tells you to test the spirits. If you think, you know, it's an angel come talk, test the spirit. It says to test it. We should be doing the same thing with the people in government.
Well, that's a definite. They should be under a microscope before they ever even get in office, because it's like this. If you hand me a gun, you want to know whether you can trust me, right? Because I can take that gun and use it against you. Well, you're essentially handing these representatives a gun. I mean, your freedom's at stake, your life's at stake, your children's future is at stake, the country's at stake. And you're handing them a gun. And you're saying, go blue team, go red team.
Well, if you look at it, you go all the way back to the ancient Sumerians, you find out that then you're reading the Bible on Genesis 6 or 8, and it talks where the fallen ones, which were the sons of gods, came down to the earth, saw the women, and saw that they were fair, and took unto them as many as took unto them wives to bear children. Why? Because they figured these children could get to heaven, even though that they couldn't. So, you know, maybe through that they can get there. But no, you know, the offspring is basically what is in power all the way through the world, all the way around the world. You're going to find out that all your politicians, all your prime ministers, all your doggone presidents are related to each other. Come on, it's there. Follow the lineage all the way back.
Well, for whatever.
So, and what the ancient Sumerians, the offspring of the Anunnaki, as they call it, their goal was to enslave all men. Well, I think they've done a pretty good job. So when you hear something out there, if you find a goose in the middle of the crows, oh well, guess what? He goes up with the crows. And in other words, what I'm saying, if they lie once, they lie again, they lie. Why would you believe that they're not lying now?
Well, for whatever.
So every time
reason,
they tell you something, and even if it sounds great, it sounds too good to be. It sounds wonderful. Oh, I want this. This is what people do, and internally in their body, their chemistry says yes. Believe the lie. Believe the lie. Oh, and as soon as you believe the lie, you get rewarded with endorphins, and that's the way the body works. And they know that, so they want to make something sound really good, and they're going to lie to you. And every time they lie to you, and you might think it's the truth, you really need to sit there and bias your mind and test the spirit. You need to sit there and think about it. You need to mull it over in your head. Well, they lied about this, lied about this. So now every time I hear him come out and say something, oh, it's Ebola, I'm sitting there thinking, yep, here comes the FEMA camps. It didn't take me more than 1 second to figure that out. Well, and that's the way I look at all of it. When they put something in your face, they're hiding something else, always.
Either way.
Get used to it, start looking at it, start reasoning it out, do your research, figure it out.
For whatever ultimate agenda, for whatever ultimate secret society, for whatever, however it all started, we are all here for the same exact reason, is that we want our freedom. We want to see the world in a better place than what it is now. We're trying to steer this boat in the opposite direction. And people, they get so overwhelmed by all the stuff, all the conspiracies, all the headlines, all the craziness going on in the world, and they start to believe themselves to be nothing more than slaves and weak individuals that can't do anything to solve the problem. And on the starvation front alone, you can solve the problem as simple as if you've got an extra loaf of bread, you hand it to somebody who doesn't have a loaf of bread. If you have some extra seeds to grow food or vegetables or whatever, you go out on a planting campaign in your local vicinity where you know there's need, and you just don't ask for permission, you just plant it. You smile on a brother or sister, you go out there, you tell them the truth, you don't do what these politicians have been doing to everybody under the sun, unless you're one, you know, who just doesn't mind screwing your fellow man over. The only way that we're going to turn this wheel is if our hands get up and turn it ourselves, because it's blatantly obvious through the track record of all the individuals out there that we call representatives that they don't care. They care about their wallet, they care about the power, they care about the structure of what is going on, what's going to benefit them. Now, you look at their wallets, you look at their banks, and you can obviously see why they vote the way they do, because they don't want to lose what they got. They don't want to be you. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, they want to be you. They hate you. They want to be you. That's why they want you to sell your soul so that they can go up on stage. One of the guys sit there, and it was asked not on Johnny Carson, but Springer or whatever his name was. He says, do you watch your movies? What do you think about the movies when you watch them? He says, no, I don't watch them because that's not me up there. Yeah, they hate you. In order for them to have a life, they must live in you. So they want to be you.
They want to torment you.
They hate you.
They want to torment you. They want to rob you and lie to you.
Right. Have a great life and then watch you take the blame for everything that they said, of every allegation thrown at you, and take you down before you die so you don't get what you actually bargained for, and you go to hell. That's what they
want. Can I interrupt, guys?
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Sky. You want to talk about hunger. Go for it.
Yeah, that's right. The hunger issue. Africa was known as the breadbasket of the world. Africa could feed the entire population of the world three times over. Okay? It has the right conditions to do so. Okay? But what's going on in Africa is basically they're causing civil war and putting diseases and viruses in there to disrupt populations and cause starvation. Okay? They're mining farmland so people can't go back to their land and mine again once the war's passed over that area. So the farms are being destroyed. They're putting in governments in there to take farmers who were farming the farms efficiently and giving people that land and say, right, you're now a farmer. They've no idea whatsoever, so that farm falls apart and never is productive. Okay, but that is the African issue. If you want to solve world hunger, you've got to, instead of going out and being warlike all over the world, or as it's put, policing the world, you don't want to do that. You want to go and resolve the hunger in your own country. America, the world's richest nation, if they can't solve their own hunger and homeless issue, they ain't going to solve the rest of the world's. You know, as Shaz mentioned earlier, you know, if donating a dollar a day will feed a starving African. That isn't going to happen. These charities aren't there to help people. They're there to take your money and make you feel good, as you pointed out, Shaz.
Yeah.
That there is no genuine charity. Charity begins at home. You know, you can't solve the world's problems if you've got problems on your own doorstep. You know, look out your own window, try to correct the world that is around you. If your world is fine, then it will spread. You know, don't look to the television to see what's going on in the world, because television is called TV because they don't want you to realize it's called television. That's all it does to you. It's lie. Everything you see on television is lie. Television.
And so
don't believe it.
So
okay?
With all that said, then it all ultimately falls down to follow the money. Wherever the money is, that's where the trouble begins. And these guys up at the top that got billions of dollars, they're not satisfied with billions of dollars. They want trillions of dollars. And they want you to pay for it. And so if you're going to keep on supporting them via going to their business or their corporations and keep on giving them your money because that's the only option you got, instead of going down there trying to find your local company that makes things that are trying to earn a living themselves and supporting your local communities and so on and so forth, you're going to go out and buy it because you can get a little cheaper from a corporation. Well, as long as you feed the beast is going to live. It's going to eat you alive. And that's the plain and simple of it. You're going to have to, if you want to defeat all this stuff that we're talking about, you're going to have to be the people that you could be and take your power back via your dollar, your vote, your word, or whatever, your actions. Am I wrong?
You're right. But the point I'm trying to get at is that the way to solve the world is to start at the community level.
Yeah.
Your world is your community. You go out, speak to your neighbors, help them, and then help the people around them. Your community is the world. You know, I'm not being disrespectful to the world, but as far as we are concerned, where I live is my world. I don't want to disregard what's going on in Africa, but what I'm saying is I can't help Africa. Because if I'm relying on my government to help them, I know for a fact that my government's going to screw them over like what they screw me over.
Yep.
But I can help myself in my community. And if my community is a success, then it should trigger on to other communities to say, hey, we want what they've got.
Yep.
You know, and lead by example.
And by being strong, you make yourself more capable of taking care of others. And that's the key.
Exactly.
So
universe revolves around you. trying to be disrespectful, but that is the way it is.
Well, it does. It's the positive pebble in the pond. You know, you think just by saying a good word to somebody, you really haven't made a difference, but you do. You seriously do make a difference. That one smile can travel all the way around the globe. And so if you get more people in that mindset, like you said, if I see your community doing good and I'm asking you, you know, hey, how did you guys get that solved over there? We need to do that over here. You know what I'm saying?
That's exactly it.
But either way, the key is the average Joe needs to stop feeling powerless. You're not powerless. You do have options, and there is a light at the end of the tunnel. You know, the whole world isn't bad. No matter what you see on mainstream media or the alternative media as well, it's not all bad. But the things aren't going to get done until you guys get together and you do it, period, you know?
Indeed. The easiest way to put a smile on your face is to turn the TV off. Turn it off. In fact, put a hammer through it, and that really cheers you up.
Yeah.
You know, get rid of your TV. You know, once that is out of your life, then you have a more positive look at it, the world in general, because TV, as I say, television, is just feeding you rubbish. Complete rubbish. It's
I got rid of my TVs a few years ago, and talking about putting a hammer down, I rolled one. I got a driveway that's almost 45 degrees, and it's nice and long. By the time you get to the top, you're kind of winded, and your legs are rubber, and it's washed out, so it's not smooth either. So
I tell people, don't come up my driveway, just park at the bottom of the hill. I took the TV. I got me a nice running start, and I had it to my side and held like a bowling ball almost. And when about the time I was ready to go, I lifted the back edge and gave it a spin. Man, you never saw parts fly so fast. It was great. It was better than a hammer, anything. And I think I've been close to about 10 years, 7 to 10 years without TV. Oh, it's great.
13 years in my case, and I did put a hammer through mine. And I must say, I unplugged it first and discharged it before I put a sledgehammer through the screen. You know, but that cheered me up immensely. And, you know, it took me a couple of years to actually get rid of all these TV thoughts in my head, you know. Then I started thinking for myself. And that is the key. When you start thinking properly, truly, I mean, your own original thoughts not given to you by TV or other media, you know, it's electrifying. Not many people actually experience that. You know, get rid of your TV, out of your life altogether, wait a couple of years, and you will start thinking clearly, you know, your own thoughts, something that was not originated or derived from somebody else's view or aspect or point of view.
Yeah, so, definitely a whole lot less stress, because every time you get up early in the morning and check the news, all you're getting is negativity, man.
Well, I'll tell you what, since I got rid of the TV, I'm not dumbed down as bad as I was, and every day I'm learning, and I know I'm way far behind. But with knowledge and wisdom comes a little pain. But I tell you what, with that pain, I still wouldn't turn back. I like knowing. I'm addicted to it. I can't help it, and I get on my show, and I go to speak out and say a few things nice
to go on,
because I know that perfect love casts out all fear. So I do kind of a mix between protest and some good songs to soothe the heart. Perfect knowledge casts out all fear. That's as good as protest as far as I'm concerned, and it makes knowledge to the people. If the people could learn to live in perfect love, there would be no war.
Well, I'm a scared of protest.
I wind up ranting just to get it out, because I build it up all week. And, you know, and when I get there, it's my outlet. It's my way of letting people know what I have found out, what I understand. It's what I get. I want to share. I want them to know as well. And I don't really want them to go through the pain or have to sit there and search and read and read and read. I don't even find time for YouTube anymore, because I'm constantly looking.
I want to bring something up on the protest side there, you know. If you got a bully out there and he wants to beat you up, there ain't no fight unless you show up to fight. Well, if you got the police out there and they're armed for war and you're going to go up against them, you got to expect you're going to get beat up, pepper sprayed, and so on and so forth. But if you leave them standing there with all their armament and ain't got nobody to fight, there ain't no issue going on. And so, with that said, use your energies for protest to go out there and talk to your neighbors and show your neighbors what's going on. You know? Show them the truth. And leave the whole fighting deal up to them. If after a while, they'll stand there with their riot gear on and get tired of just standing around looking stupid because there ain't nobody there to beat up, then you ain't got an issue. Am I wrong?
Well, yeah. I got friends in low places, and I'd rather eat off their table than I would off a politician's table. So my idea is, why don't you ask the people, you know, go down to the alleys where the homeless people are. Ask them. Get their opinion. And this is some of the stuff you're going to get. He says, no, you can't shoot through that bulletproof vest, and you're not a marksman enough to hit him in the head. You don't need a gun. If you got a gun, you're going to jail. So why don't you just take these water balloons and fill them up with urine and throw them at it, and then they'll leave. It'll stop a tank. It'll stop the whole doggone thing. They don't want to keep playing games. They'll go over where it's a little easier to go play their little game. You know, I mean, there's a lot of good ideas.
I'm saying don't even give them the option or the benefit of the doubt. Don't even look at them. Just go on about your business and take your energy, all your your frustration and go around door to door and hand out information to people, educate the average Joe to what's going on in the world, and allow them. Can you add Sky Blue in? I think we lost him there. You still there, Mighty? Apparently we lost the call there, the entire call. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is instead of going out there protesting against the police and the government and all that kind of stuff, go around there and educate your neighbors and show them what's going on, get their thoughts and opinions on the deal, you know, and don't go up there and tell them, you know, the sky's falling and the world's coming to an end and you got to run and jump up in your bunker and all this kind of stuff. Just say, look, hey, I got this notification that this is going on, and I thought I'd share it with you and ask you what your thoughts on the matter was, and, you know, diplomatically show them the information at hand as opposed to, just going up there dropping a bombshell on them and scaring the crud out of them or stressing them out or making them think you're insane. You know, common sense. But, the way that these guys and gals do it, they'll get their picket signs, they'll go up there, they'll be in their little protest zones, and they'll eventually get tired of being not heard, and somebody will get out of hand, or some provocateurs will get in the crowd and start a big fight, and next thing you know, you got cops beating up on people, and so on and so forth. You know, it's not doing anybody any good. And... You're live.
Welcome back to us. If the protest is just an ad hoc event, then please turn up in numbers to squelch it. As Shaz pointed out, you know, when a protest. You have one side being all peaceful and the other side is out warlike, it is going to turn nasty. You know, the police come with an excuse of, we're here to keep it safe and peaceful. Well, if that was true, then all they would have needed is two or three police officers, you know, dressed in blues rather than black riot gears, armed with riot shields and pepper sprays, you know.
And masks, if you go.
Yeah, they're going to keep the peace. They got guns, loaded guns, pointing in your face.
Exactly. When you see that situation occurring, you know that the police are going to provocateur into some form of riot. So, you know, everyone needs to be vigilant with some form of camera to pick out the troublemakers. You know, because you can guarantee the police are going to make arrests. And they ain't going to arrest any of the provocateurs who are generally police in plain clothes, throwing bricks, etc.
And you know what the kicker of that whole deal is there, Sky Blue? The kicker of that whole deal is this, that while they're arresting people and beating them up, they're going to have the average Joes in chat rooms arguing over, well, maybe they deserve to get beat up. They shouldn't have been throwing things at the cops or whatever, you know. You see what's going on there?
Yeah, absolutely. In the big chat rooms, you can guarantee those people who are saying that are, again, agent provocateurs whose basically sole purpose is to cause controversy and point out, you know, the BS of, they deserve it. When in reality, nobody deserves to be beaten up. Nobody deserves ill treatment by anyone. You know, there is no legitimacy for government to say that we've got force du jour, so we have the right to beat you up with a billy club, and if you defend yourself, we will charge you with resisting arrest. You know, it's ridiculous. And any court that bleeding allows that kind of behaviour should... Automatically be proven to be not a legitimate court, because you can't allow that in society. You know, if a policeman can bear false witness, you know, they should be going to jail. You know, not somebody who's just stood there and gets beaten up by a policeman because he was the nearest person to the policeman who was having a bad day today because he was wanting to go out watched the game but got called out to a protest. You know, it's a joke. You know, how anyone, as Shouts are saying, you know, can sit in a chat room and say, oh, they deserve it, you know, then this person needs his mental attitude being to be re-evaluated, I should say. Or I think the American term was, you need to go see a quack. Or is it psychiatrist? Yeah, that would be the better one. But I digress. Yeah, protests, they do have their purposes, but unfortunately you'll never get the mainstream coverage to give them the effect they want.
Well, and you just hit on a key point, too, there. Sky Blue, you just hit on a key point right there.
Yeah.
The doggone mainstream media out there, who everybody trusts for their information, they should be ashamed of themselves. At the very least, probably in jail for treason against their own country, because the information that they're putting out, either they're flat out stupid or they're flat out lying. There could only be two possibilities there. You know what I'm saying?
I'll speak to that one as well. Mainstream media is owned by the same people that own your politicians. Mainstream media is not news. Mainstream media has its own protection in terms of anything they put out that is classified news is not. It's entertainment. So if you try to take a news agency to court and say you're lying, we've no
We lost you there. Hey, dead air there. Buddy, you still there?
Oh, yeah, I'm just trying not to chip my tooth here and giving him a chance. Yeah, we're having a little bit of trouble on the internet on his end there, but bandwidth here is still good, so all is connected. Justin's taking care of another matter at the moment. We got Lockmanship still here. He's keeping muted to keep noise from coming in.
Well, let's hear what he's got to say.
Sir Lockmanship?
Yeah, I'm here, gentlemen. It's a pleasure. You guys are putting on an awesome show this morning. If you don't believe me, look at all the dropping of the bandwidth.
Yeah, that's the way you know you're doing something good.
Correct.
And by the way, kind of anxious to hear your interjections on a lot of this here, though.
Oh, you guys have covered well over 200 yards, two football fields. So where do you want to start?
Just start the center.
Yeah, just jump in there anywhere.
I like that. Well, you know, the last thing I heard you all talk about was the guns. And Shaziz saying, you know, that's what they're ready, and, you know, they're ready to do their thing. Well, guns backwards is snug, so it's a false sense of security. So let them have their guns, because, you know, it's a mute issue, moot. Because if you come in peace, and you're on your land, and you're the lawful individual, which we all are, then you have the unlawful that come along, which are the police and the regulators and the utility companies. You know, let them have their guns. Let them have all. The whole key is back to analogies to the tree of life. It says in Genesis that they have become one of us unless they reach forth their hand to the tree of life. And if you look at the word life, it's an anagram for file. So if you take the right, which is the R-I-G-H-T, what we're doing is taking the W-R-I-T, which is the writ. And this is the power of and above the gun. This is the power of the pen. And this is what we're all beginning to ascend to.
Yeah.
And that's what we keep doing, is encouraging each other.
One can't underestimate the power of the pen either, because, you know, congressmen, when they're in office or whatever, if they get inundated with letters after letters after letters from their constituents, they're going to start getting worried, because, you know, normally they don't hear nothing from their constituents. You know, they're whatever you call them, the secretaries. Well, he's not available. He's not available. But if you send a certified letter to them on a daily basis talking about you're not happy with what the representation you're getting.
No. That's their game. That's later in my plan. No. You need to go. Now, this is me. I'm just sharing with you my testimony. I am the witness. The crime was committed against me. I don't care if you have a uniform. I don't care if you have a rope. I am confronted, and I did. I went to the constable. I went to the police chief. I went to the city manager. Now, consider this. It's like layers of an onion. This is what they're hiding. See, my Muddy, you're in my same state. So you will be affected eventually as I go forward, because my goal is in my area, in my city, in my county. I am going after the court system. I'm going after the bar. That British is a foreign occupation. That needs to leave. The moment you get rid of the 007 legal instruments of the Queen, which is the lawyers, all of their bar numbers start with 007. So what you got to do, now this is me. I've got the rest of my life, guys. I've got 20 years to pull this off. The key, now back to Shaziz, keep your face in front of them. Go to their city meetings. Make sure your presence is known. My point is, this is what scares them, because when I went to the city manager, you go through the secretary, you go through the assistant, you go, and you got to present them these documents, and you scare them to death, because nobody does this. Everybody gets a lawyer. Everybody sends, see, it's impersonal. Everybody sends certified letters. No. Take that document, all of it, and hand it to them. The point is, you've got to get through those layers, and I'm going through those layers right now. It's taking time, but here's the key. They know I'm there. I'm in love saying, got you. You're a criminal. You've committed a crime. I lovingly am telling you, no, which means K and O W.
Then if that's the path that needs to be going on, then they actually need to have a line at the representative's office of people waiting to hand their letters to the representatives.
But that's the key, though, is that, now remember back to the PSYOP of their representative government. This is my representative government. The head of all law enforcement in my town is the city manager. The moment that I break through this onion, which I'm going through the process, I've already, the secretary has already seen my face, already seen all of my emails. This is all documentation. See, this is what scares them. So when I go to these people, I'm taking step by step by step, presenting them with further documents, and eventually they're my representative. That city manager, now this is me, Muddy, I don't want to do this to the whole state just yet. Because the moment you remove that bar, the court system falls apart, and so does the money system. So we've got to protect all of our investments, we've got to protect all of our retirements, and make sure all of that is allocated to where it's in our paperwork, so whatever they choose to do, and whenever they flee, because you look at Revelation, they're going to run. We've got to stay together, and we've got to preserve what's all is coming to us, because we all have done hard work, and we all have got to. And here's the key, by the way. I'm switching a gear. This whole system is built on private, which is privations. See, that's what I'm going for, Muddy. I'm taking my city, which is incorporated. It's a private incorporation. See, that's what I'm going for. I'm removing the court. The moment you remove the court and it falls apart, the city council and everything else, now you've got to revamp everything, Muddy. Let's say we do it in Texas. And we revamp every city, and we still use those positions, not their names, because that comes from the whore. Excuse me, you know, of Babylon.
Right.
This is a process that's been going on for at least 240 plus years in this country.
Hello?
Because they're worshiping Baal. The Baal. Remember, you got to pay their Baal. You got to pay homage to their Baal. And see, they're ignorant of all this. The people in uniform. Seriously, they are. But see, this is what we do. We love them, like Jesus did. Jesus was not afraid to speak the truth in love. And this is all I'm saying. I love you, but your crimes will no longer be overlooked. and you lovingly explain to them their error. Now, if they choose to stay in those positions, and like you said earlier, to stay corrupt, so be it. But now, notice what's going to happen. Like Jesus said to the rich ruler, it's all going to fall apart. If they stay for the material and they can't follow the truth, well, then they will perish. They will not get the principle of eternal life. Because that's what the rich ruler asked Yeshua Jesus. You know, how do I receive eternal life? It wasn't heaven. It was eternal life. And what did he tell the disciples after he chose to walk away? And that's the same process that we're doing with our officials. Let God, and the God part that's in them, that's working on them, work on them, but it's our job to educate and love, like Jesus did. In other words, don't be threatening. Remember, they got the gun. Don't be threatening. And this is what I do. Last Saturday, I walked into the police department. Okay, remember, I didn't do it during the week. I wanted it very low-key, and I walked in, and I had a document, which is, they filed a false report. Okay, this was back in 2012. And I went through the city manager, through the secretary, and I forced them to give me all of these files from their office. They wanted me to go to the police department. I said, no. You're the head of the law enforcement in this whole city, the city manager. The city manager is responsible for the voting and for the position of the police chief and for the voting and the position of the constable. So I need you on open file. I need you to give me what you're willing to give me. And they gave it to me, and in that file was a false police report. So I walked in last Saturday, and I told the dispatcher lady, and I said, hi, I'm here to file a criminal report. An officer came out, and of course, he's an officer. Keep that in mind, guys. Police are officers of the court. They say you've got to be aware that you're dealing with the whore. And that person's head is the whore of Babylon. They're afraid of, and what is the whore? It's the court system. See, they're serving, and who runs it? It's the queen, Britain. And who are the attorneys working for? Britain. See, this is foreign occupation. We need to educate the police and the attorneys that the system is not only flawed, it's fell apart. It's failed. Over 240 years, and look how many deaths that we've incurred because of this constitutional, I'm sorry, it's a reprobation. It's turned into a reprobation. What do you guys think?
Well, I think that the average Joe out there needs to know a lot of stuff. And in order to make this world a better place, it's going to be taking your own personal life, your power of your own personal life, the power of your spoken word, the power of your actions, the power of the pen, the power of your love, and getting out there, being proactive in your community. Protesting in front of guys who have guns and pepper sprays and riot gear isn't going to get you anywhere. It's going to be put back on you via the mainstream media that, oh, look at these rowdy protesters out there and all they're doing is wrecking society. You're not going to get your cause furthered in any way by going up against these folks. And so the only thing that you got is to go out there and educate the person that lives down the street from you and show them, look, hey, this is what I got. This, you know, when we go to vote, we need to make sure that vote's really counting. You see what I'm trying to say here?
Yep.
You know, it's just it's ridiculous that as many people in the free world and the non-free world and the third world countries and all that, as many people, we the people that exist, that outnumber the elite by the billions, are sitting here allowing these guys to continuously destroy this world, you know? They're bombing people, they're stealing from people, they're taking away people's freedoms on a daily basis, and we the people, we even take away each other's rights because it's just as simple as like the homeowners associations. If you join a homeowners association, as far as I'm concerned, you deserve everything you get because you just told those folks that you're giving them authority over your life. You got to have your house a certain color. You got to have your fence a certain distance from the sidewalk or whatever. And if you don't do what the homeowners association says, they can put liens against your property, and you told them it was okay. And so,
isn't that what every small town in America is, an incorporated city? Isn't that what it is?
That's why I live out in the country, and that's why I posted in front of my property, private property, and that's why I know the difference between residential property and private property. Go to your local city clerk and ask them how to get your listing for your residential property changed over to private property, and listen to what they're going to tell you. The county clerk in my county inadvertently, accidentally, without even thinking about it, told me that there's a difference. Because when I was standing there in front of him, I said, how do I go about getting my private property or my property listed as other than residential as private property? And she looked at me and paused there for a second, and she said, well, we wouldn't have any way to tax you. So she told me what they didn't want me to know to begin with. There's a difference in the terminology between residential property and private property. If you have private property, you don't get the benefits of city funds to take care of your roads. You have to maintain your own private roads. That's why if you go down any county road, you'll notice there's different signs. There's like brown street signs and regular street signs. The brown street signs are private roads and have to be maintained by the landowner and are not maintained by the city. Therein lies the difference, and knowledge is power. You see what I'm saying?
And all I was trying to elaborate on your homeowner association is that's what every incorporated city actually is. It's an HOA. If you do not comply, they will put you in jail.
Yeah.
There's no victim. It's all about taxation.
And every time you complain about your neighbor to the local city government, after a while they'll put a regulation up that says you can't do this no longer.
Yep. See, the key issue is I'm talking in the kingdom of Yah. There is no private property. We are the property. See, that's what we're missing. See, like Yeshua said, my kingdom is not of this world. Now think of property. So what he's intimating in Luke 17:21 is the kingdom of God is within you. Therefore, if you put it together, Yeshua is in us. We, for 2,000 years, we are literally the extension of the words of God.
Yeah, and I agree, but here's the reason why I talked about the private property deal. Because right now, we are working within the system. That's all we've got. This is all we know, because this is all we've been taught from day one, that that's all there is the system. And so, if you're going to have to work in the system and try to repair the system from within, which I think is way beyond repair, that you need to know the terminology. The difference of terminology is the difference of when you go to court and you win or you lose because of what you said in court. So private property and residential property are two entirely separate things. And you need to know the difference. Otherwise, the system...
Can I go macro on this view?
Go ahead.
Go for it. All right. What I've discovered through this process of going to these people, going to their offices, going to what is supposedly considered a republic, what I've discovered because of this onion and this illusion, it's all an illusion, we do not live in a republic. We do not live in a democracy. What I went up against is a global corporate theocracy. This is their God. Think about it. They made every one of these people that I went to put their left hand on their version of belief of that Bible and then raise their right hand, and that's the faith. See, the belief is the Bible that they've totally, ruined, destroyed, with their legalisms and taxation. So, and then they have to force them subconsciously, they don't realize it, they just think everybody else does it, they raise their right hand, and now they're making a vow to a faith that is foreign to now back to where Yeshua was referring. See, Yeshua is talking about sovereignty, pure. It's just you and the Creator. But see, that's not what these people do. These people force you to worship their version of the Bible, their version of the Constitution. So now let me wrap it up. So when I go to the constable's office, I look on the wall and it says, if, it says complaint. Now this is about the court system, the whole system. Now listen to what they're keeping that in that frame. It's a church. It's a belief system. It's a religion. That's what this government for 240 plus years has been. It's a violation of the very amendment that they're saying that they're not violating, but they are. Because it's a religion. Because now when you take it apart and they see their ways that you guys have all been discussing about the corruption and the money that keeps them in the system, so the bottom line is that's the key. On the wall it says, if you want to file a complaint, and here's the word, if you believe. Think about it. Crime was committed. See, this is the game of belief. This whole court system, I don't mess with it. Don't you get it? Now, this is for me. That police chief is my court. That city manager is my court. That police chief is my court. Seriously, my point is, you're not going to drag, you can drag me into your court, but I've already put my fee schedule in, and if you drag me into the court, it's $1 million in gold. Period. Now, if you drag me anyways, I'm just going to shut up. Well, again, that is their temple. This is their religion. This is ecumenical. This is religious. This goes back to the Vatican. And all that's what Jesus did. He looked at the three and said, you don't have anything to do with Moses. You don't even remotely resemble Moses. And what was the Pharisee, which is the teachers, the rabbis, the Sadducees, which are the priests, and you have the scribes. So now break that down to our government. You've got a judicial branch, which is what? Your priesthood. See, all of this is symbiosis. And it's all, this is all, like, I think it was Sky Blue or Justin. This is all a psyop. It doesn't exist. I walked into their offices. That city manager doesn't exist. I told the secretary. I told the assistant. And you know what they said? Oh, his picture's up there. I didn't even look. I said, where is the city manager? I want to see the city manager. And I got documents in my hand. And that's why they're Muddy Man. That's the reason why. Because that's the key. The moment I serve that city manager, that is now what they've been saying. Well, you've got a representative government. Well, guess what? The moment I do that, and it's against that city manager's will, and it's in public, that city manager has no choice but to file that criminal action because I'm using him. I'm not going to go to their clerk. You get it? I'm not going to solicit their court. I'm not going to court their whore, Babylon, the bank. And see, there's the key, guys. This is what I'll tell them. Okay, it says, Jesus says you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is money. Money is the bank. Okay, the court is an illusion because the bench, look at the etymology of the word bench. It's bank. So you guys are forcing me to worship your courting. You're forcing me to court your system. And your system doesn't exist. Not for me. No, you city manager, you exist. And see, this is all on the preponderance of crime. This is criminal. I'm not approaching these city managers and police chiefs with, you know, what do you call it, the other court? But you know, you got your criminal court, and you've got your civil. No, I'm not approaching the city manager civilly. I don't want money. I want criminal actions taken against the city manager himself. The police chief, now see, I've got all the documents of 14 years to validate what I'm talking about. So each individual listening, your experience is going to be different, but don't hesitate to document it. And don't hesitate to walk into the offices of these people in love, in respect, in knowledge, knowing, and just simply present the documentation. And that's what this whole system is. The court, all they have, all they're doing is controlling the archive, which is the files. Now we're back to life.
But
now you're playing their game.
98% of the average Joes out there haven't got a clue about any powers that they would potentially have via the law. Nobody. How many people actually read Black's Law Dictionary or all the different histories of the law and the Constitution. How many people are as knowledgeable in that area as yourself, because you've actually been down that road? My key to this whole deal is that it's going to take the average Joe to literally educate themselves to the level that's going to make a difference. You see what I'm saying?
Keep listening to Shaziz Radio.
Otherwise, we're going to keep going around in circles. We're going to keep beating a dead horse.
Let me give you guys a real-life experience. I went to the local ISD, which is the Independent School District. My son is 25, so I just walked in there. And I said, hey, you know, I'm just a parent. My kid's out of your school system. I'm just curious. You know, I have nothing going on. I'm just asking simply, what do you all offer parents for open file requests? They came back, did this, supervisors, and the woman came back and said, we don't offer anything. I said, okay. Is there any way that you can give me the supervisor that gave you that information, and can I document it by chance? I went to the second person. I went to the third person. I went to the fourth person. Now, think of these salaries, guys. Muddy, you're in Texas.
Yeah.
Think of salaries. Think of the waste of the onion of salary in our tax dollar money. It's just in you know, Muddy, education alone, I pay $3,000 a year in property taxes. $1,800 of that goes to the ISD. So now think about that, guys. So what they're saying is you have no right to your children's file, which is knowledge. They are hoarding that knowledge, and the only way you have access to it in their writing is to court their whore, their bank. So you've got to get an attorney. See, so it's an illusion. They stole our children from us. I'm talking the knowledge of it all. And you know why they're doing this, Shaziz and Muddy? You know why they're doing this? It's because they're hiding. They're hiding all of the medical abuse of vaccinations and how it's messed up kids for the last 20 years. This is why they're forcing you to get lawyers to have access and to have copies of these documents.
So you're fighting it, they're making money anyway.
You got it. So what I'm saying is after the fourth layer of the onion, I finally, listen, Shaziz, I finally got to an administrator. And guess what? I'm giving you the formula. The first layers of that onion were women. The fifth layer, the first step into the administrative step, was a man. And you know, I had to email him 3 times and re-perspective the words just to get him to send me the actual documentation or the law that they are got their guidelines and give me a copy. And he did. And guess who made the guideline up? The Council on Foreign Relations. RISD, Muddy, okay, in the state of Texas, our whole system is controlled and operated by the Council of Foreign Relations. Now, watch, guys. How was I going to know that until I actually went there?
Well, there you go, man.
Everybody hearing my voice.
Council of Foreign Relations. Council of Foreign Relations is another deal to keep the great whore of Babylon, the queen, from actually having to deal with it. It's another wall that you got to break through just to get.
And the rabbit hole goes deeper and deeper.
Sky, I didn't see your post. Sky, please interject if you don't mind, Shaziz.
Right. Thanks, Locksman. You pointed out. They ask, you know, all these people who are sworn into office, they put their hand on the Bible and they raise their other hand in the air. That is symbolism for what is above, so is below. All right?
Think of the Passover. Remember the wave offering of the grain? Now think about what they're making us do with our waving our hand and holding up. It's a wave offering. See, we don't realize what they're doing. And see, even the people implementing this don't realize it. This has been going on for over 200 years. 240. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
5,000 years.
I'm talking about our current history. You know what I mean? Under this.
Well, our current history is 5,000 years.
Right. I agree.
if you're only referring to America, I'm expanding your horizon. No offense, like, but you know, history doesn't start at the 1776. Just kidding. But the point I was making is that the symbolism with the putting your hand on a Bible and raising your other hand is what is above, so is below. It basically, you know, you see it in all the Satanism and Luciferian imagery, because they're basically saying that you will take orders from above and make it the way it is at your level. And most people don't realize it, you know. For instance, when you're in a court, the judge and the prosecutor will read out the charges of you for you and say, do you understand? And if you say yes, then that means that you've automatically allowed yourself to be ruled by that court because you understand. What you should reply is that I comprehend what you say.
Sky.
And that screws them up.
But what you're describing is the philosophy of what Jesus said. What they're doing ignorantly, what we're doing when we do this, is we're allowing ourselves to be bound. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth, you loose in heaven. The process of your left hand on that book, and you're making a wave offering to their nationalistic God, see? This is a binding. You are now bound. Now think of the property, Chaziz and Muddy. See, they're taking the private property principle to their benefit in their courts. Remember, it's all an illusion. They're making judgments on me, you, and everybody else by gun point. Think about that. It's an illusion. It's not as if there's justice. No. Remember, they make it up. They change the goalposts. So you got to stay on the understanding that I have no desire to go into their temple, because that's where think about their goddess. Their goddess is justice. And what did they do to her, gentlemen? They blindfolded her. And look what they're doing. They're using the as above, so below. If you look at that statue of their justice, they're telling you, they're hiding the celestial meaning. The celestial meaning is the sword, okay? The sword and the balances. You know what the balances are that they're not telling you? It's Libra. And you know what the other arm of Libra, the opposite sign of Libra, is? Aries, the sword. See, this is, as you peel back this onion, this is what I'm trying to share with you, is that, you know, what I have and been given to me, I'm taking this venue and giving it to you. All doing, we're ministering one to another, and we're, you know, building each other up. And see, this is what scares them, Shaziz, because they know that their guns are no good. Period. This is what scares them.
Well, and you know what? That's what needs to be done. We need to realize that we are more powerful than we think we are. You know, this whole system and peeling back the onion, and how deep the rabbit hole actually goes. You look out into this world, there's only one group of individuals that can fix this world, and that's we the people. You know, in the Bible it says that no man knows the time or day, that he'll come like a thief in the night. And so with that said, we don't know when it's going to happen, and in the meantime, we got to live here. And so what you do does matter. And if you want to make this world a better place, then you use the power that God gave you, and you do it. You use your talents, your skills, your spoken word, your pen, the power of your actions, and the power of love, and you go out there and you make a difference in your community. And standing in front of a bunch of guys with guns isn't going to cut it, because the mainstream media is just going to report it the way that they want to report it for their own personal gain, ratings, or whatever. And you're not going to accomplish nothing. It ain't going to be accomplished until you do like Sky Blue says, and you go around in your local communities and you fix your own community first, and then worry about the rest of the world later, you know, because you're not going to fix nothing unless you're strong enough to take care of yourself. Am I wrong?
14 and a half minutes. Okay, real quick. And remember what Yeshua said to the rich ruler, and then his comment. His comment after he left was, that man, principle, will never achieve, okay, the crossing over. Remember, 17:21 of Luke, the kingdom of heaven is within you. See, now back to the point. This is the binding. The officers, now back to Yushas, is you said these officials, these presidents, they're all bound. Think about it.
Yeah.
They walked away from that principle, and they refused to ascend. And that's what Yeshua was saying to the rich ruler. If you let go of the material, which is the earth, remember?
Yep.
This kingdom is not of this world. And then what did he do? He couldn't let go of what kept him here, which is the private property, the ego. So yeah, we got to keep that in mind as we continue. You, Muddy, you, Shaziz, you, Justin, you, Sky, are more important than my private property. This is me speaking. My point is, I reverse their curse. I open up, now, I don't have a family like I did, so I can do this now. I open my door to anybody. I don't care if you need to stay here for a month. My point is, it's all part, we got to get away from, oh, this is more, because this is what has bound them. So we, and that's what I've done. I'm slowly but surely releasing this binding through my business that they're trying to control, and I'm starting to work through it. And by the way, guys, thanks for allowing me to ride today.
Well, when I talk about private property, and I talk about the way that the wording and all that goes in, I'm talking about, you know, the only thing that, only tools that I have access to right now outside of my God and my faith that allow me to fend off the wolf, so to speak, is that gate of knowledge. That I shut that gate on that system and totem using their own laws and words against them, that I shut that gate. This is my private property, which ultimately belongs to my God, period. And anyone, friend in need or whatever, family, is allowed to come here anytime they want. That gate is only closed for those individuals out there who just don't get it. You see what I'm trying to say here?
But what I'm
What
I'm using is the principles that have been given me, that I've gotten away from their curse, and I look at the Old Testament principle of Abraham, and I look at it for what it is, and he always, didn't matter where he was, he, as long as there was, you came in peace, it says it, he always welcomed anybody. Just like those three angels, right? You know that they're to, serious, this is what it's all about. My point is, I'm talking, I'm hearing your voices, I'm listening to the eternal part of you folks. The physical part, which is the property, right? It's temporal. See, so there's bigger issues here that they are scared that, see, that fear goes away. It doesn't matter if they got a gun. Like you said, Shaziz, you just in love are basically a representative, like Yeshua was, and you're just saying, hey, N-O, no, and K-N-O-W, no. So, and you keep the paperwork going, and what it comes down to is a claim. See, what I'm going to do to achieve my intent here is all I'm doing is collecting all this paperwork, and then finally I'm going to make a, now this is separate from the criminal. What I'm going to do is I'm going to set up a claim, and I'm going to post it on my front door. So if you're a cop, you come on my property, I've got my claim right there that says that this piece of land belongs basically to the people of God. The children of God, Psalm 82, Jesus quoted it, ye are God's children of the Most High. That's what I put in my claim. Now, if they want to come on my property and violate that, well, they're at God's mercy, not mine. Yeah. Because I'm just lovingly escort them off and say, have a good day. In other words, there's no crime, right? They just want taxes. They just want to come back in. Remember, they're bound. See, they want to come in and bind you. And see, again, I'm not bound. It's posted. See, it's all about the writ. It's all about the written word. How many times, if any one of you, I have, how many times have you went to court, had a copy of the law that they're proposing, and you present that as part of your evidence? Every time, guys, they throw it out. They won't allow it. See, it's all about the written word. This is why Judaism says that they honor the first five books, but they don't. Which is the written word. They honor the Talmud. You know what the Talmud is in America? It's the Supreme Court. The Talmud is the tradition of the writings of the rabbis even before Jesus came along. What do you think the Supreme Court decisions are? You mean I got to walk in there and I got to argue somebody else's dead argument from 1800s? You see how they bind you to where you don't even exist. Well, except somebody else's. See, again, you are unique. See, this is the key. You got to let them listen, and they'll do everything not to. But the key is those documents. They don't want to bring those documents into the court, because as soon as they allow those documents into the court, game's over. It's now, remember, writ. This is how they get, and look how many lost. Grit.
All right, well, this is all fascinating and everything, but we're down to the last 9 minutes of the show, so this is the point where we go around the table and let you all have your last word, and we'll have to speed it up because the table keeps getting larger. Right. Who wants to go first?
Justin hadn't said anything in for a while. Let's give him the first shot. Here, here, Justin, come on. He's probably muted. Okay, Sky Blue, is your internet kicking?
I'd just like to point out the UK clocks changed, so you can have an extra hour today if you so desire. If not, I'd like to say thanks for having me on the show, and hope I've inspired people to actually take action. Thanks, guys.
And if you're working an 8-hour shift, make sure you get paid for 9. Let's go around to me, I guess. I look at it, I found out a long time ago when I tried to give it all to the poor, well, the poor didn't want it. Very little left. I sold what I had. I tried to sell what I had. Guess what? Nobody wanted it. Just a few things sold. So I put it out to the curb for free. Very little of it left. The trash truck took most of it. And what I didn't put out there, I burned and put in my wood stove. Each time I lost, I felt the power coming to me. I felt the power make it to me. I had so much energy when I was done getting rid of everything other than the clothes on my back and the things that I couldn't replace. When I let go and let go and let go, I can't describe the feeling. And within 2 months, I had twice as much as I had before. Now that I realized that the value of things is for naught, I hated it. I started calling it my stuff. I stopped calling it my junk. I started calling it my poo-poo. And the poo-poo kept flying. It kept coming back and coming back. And the more I gave away, the more I got back. And I'm telling you something. All these things that you have hold you down. They are your ball and chain. The only true free man is the one who can walk and carry his stuff on his back. And at that point, you are very powerful. Look at Paul, who wrote 3/4 of the New Testament in jail. Enough said.
All right, then.
Get rid of the junk, the extra stuff you don't need. Basically, once you find out the value of things, you become more powerful.
All right, well, with all that said, it's been a fascinating show. My thanks to all the Knights of the Round Table. And I just hope that somebody out there goes away with something positive from this whole message, such as, you know, you're a lot more powerful than you give yourself credit for, and until you come to the realization that you can make a difference in your local community, we're going to continue to beat a dead horse, and it's just not going to do anybody any good. As long as you allow this system to eat you alive, as long as you keep feeding the system that is the beast, that is eating you alive, then this world will never change. It's going to start with you. You are the key to this whole deal. Each and every one of you out there have a potential to do something positive in your community that will ripple across this world in all nations. And, you know, there, like I said so many times, we the people outnumber the elite by the billions. And until we come to that realization, until we stand up, not in violence, but in love and help one another and do what we can to solve the problems of the world, until we enact the solutions that we already have, whether it be in the alternative energy, alternative medicine, alternatives to the law, so on and so forth, until we get up and do what it is that we're capable of doing, we're going to continue to keep talking about what it is we talk about on the Knights of the Round Table. With that
Amen.
Said, to each and every one of you out there, peace and love, and stay tuned for the next Knights of the Round Table and whoever comes up next. Take care.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man. You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons.
Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet!
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet! I order you to be quiet!
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords, is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're Knights of the Round Table. We dance where we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're Knights of the Round Table. Our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the Pramalot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.